Hi and welcome to the podcast A Cap Off, a podcast for everyone interested in pursuing a career at a business law firm. My name is Evelina and I work with recruitment at the Stockholm office. Normally I host a pod in Swedish for the Swedish market and my colleague Emil is hosting it in Finland. But this time we decided to record a cross-border episode and I'll be hosting it myself this time. The reason for this is that we have an international guest here at the office, our distinguished trainer and communications expert, Andrew, sometimes also known as the multi-story man. Welcome, Andrew.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And you have worked with us for many years, both with different communication skills trainings internally and also with a couple of student events, for example, at Rocher Talent Academy, which was organized earlier this week in Stockholm, where you conducted a training about networking and presenting skills. Could you please just tell us a bit more about who you are and your background?
I sometimes tell people that I decided a number of years ago that I didn't want a proper job, so I made one up. So I am a storytelling coach and consultant in the business world, but I came into it through a very unusual path because I come from the golf industry. I worked for 22 years in the golf industry in the UK because my brother's a golf pro. I was going to be a golf pro as well. I didn't quite get good enough to earn a living playing golf. But I did work in the industry for 22 years. And in the late noughties, I changed my career path for reasons I won't go into now. It was quite an interesting sort of turning point in my life. And the crossover between what I used to do and what I do now is public speaking. Because in the golf industry, you have lots of prize presentations. And I used to love emceeing the prize giving. No one else wanted to do it. I loved doing that. So that was the thing that was the common ground between my old work and what I do now. But now I primarily help technically trained professionals are my core audience, really. People who've accumulated a lot of technical expertise, doctors, lawyers, academics, accountants, and so forth, who sometimes struggle to adapt their message when they're put in front of a less sophisticated audience in terms of their knowledge level. So they have to be able to deal with different audiences and change the way they say the thing that they would normally say. And it's a skill, and it's a skill that I call storytelling.
It's very interesting, and we will definitely talk more about this topic here in the episode as well. But as mentioned earlier, the podcast is called A Cup Off, and the idea behind the podcast is to invite guests over a cup of, well, something that they prefer in their cup, which leads up to one of the mandatory questions, what you prefer to drink. We just had a coffee before, so I know it's more of a coffee person rather than tea, right?
Well, yeah, I am a coffee drinker. I do a lot of work in cafes. I'm one of these people that makes a latte last a long time, and they're on a laptop pretending to work. So I'm almost in a position where I can write the definitive guide to cafes in my area because I spend a lot of time having a coffee. Probably a flat white is my drink of choice at the moment. And when I order something different from my regular coffee shop, they look at me as if something's gone wrong with me. What, is it not your normal today, Andrew? Why have you ordered something different? So yeah, flat white's probably my drink of choice.
Sounds like a good choice to me as well. Let's continue on today's topic, which is the art of networking as a student or in the beginning of your career, where I are quite certain that you will have many useful tips. So why would you say it's important to start building your network already as a student?
I'll actually start the answer to that in a slightly unusual way and reference my three children, because I have three kids now. They're, what are they, 30, 29 and 26. And they've all worked at one time in their life in hospitality. So I think if you work in a situation where you're having to interact with human beings, it's a great grounding to develop more confidence in dealing with people. And I think a lot of people who train in higher education for something like a law degree, the curriculum that they're following is really geared around accumulating the technical knowledge they need to maybe qualify as a lawyer. But in the syllabus, you don't have things like how to present properly or how to build rapport with people when you meet a stranger. So I think often people leave their technical training ill-equipped for, you know, going out into the real world and maybe meeting people and building a supportive network. And when you're self-employed, as I am, you have a very strong motivation to build a network because you don't earn any money unless you acquire a supportive network who can maybe introduce you to opportunities. So I think when you leave higher education or when you're working in an organization, you have a ready-made network, either in university or in the organization. And then when you leave that network, you almost have to start again. And it's difficult. It's not an easy thing for people to do because it's not been part of their technical training in a way.
And why is it important to build your network and to continue to expand your network, would you say?
Because I don't think you can achieve things in life on your own. You really need a supportive network of people who are aware of what you're trying to achieve. I think you should be open and show a degree of vulnerability in saying that I'm not there yet because this is getting in my way at the moment. And they're more likely to want to help you if you're honest, but they admire your enthusiasm for wanting to get somewhere and your quest that you're on. But the fact that you've got an obstacle in the way, which might be confidence or it might be that you don't know anybody yet, they'll want to help you if you're open.
That's really good advice. And sometimes it could feel quite difficult when you don't have a network at all, like in this industry. What could be like a good starting point if you want to start and build your own network? How would you start?
Well, I think you've got to start attending events because I think most people think of networking as going to an event, you know, where you walk in a room, you might not know anybody. And I think one of the commonest anxieties that younger people have in that situation is that they don't know as much stuff as the people in the room do. So if it's a professional networking event, you know, that might be full of lawyers or accountants or medics or whatever, if they're just out of university or medical school or whatever, they don't have as many years behind them. They haven't got as much experience, you know, applying their expertise as the other people in the room. So they feel at a disadvantage. But I actually encourage them to flip that around because they have an advantage over those people because they've been to university more recently than those people. So they're aware of how it is now doing a law degree. They're able, therefore, to educate the older people in how things have changed during the time. And maybe they can contrast. And that's a great way of, you know, developing a connection with those people. And also, I think they have a clearer perception from the outside of how a brand like Rocher is viewed from the outside, which people who work in the organization can't have because they're too close to the organization. So that I think they have two advantages that they can use if they see them as advantages.
Mm. And my perception is also that people that work here, they're quite happy when students approach them and are curious about their work. They're quite happy to share as well about their experiences. Mm. And it's quite easy to get the conversation started.
Well, I think the word you use there is key, and that's curiosity. Yeah. I always think, again, going back to this thing with younger people feeling disadvantaged in that networking scenario, that you can take the pressure off yourself. You don't have to say interesting, impressive things all the time. If you ask good questions and you show interest and curiosity, and when someone says something back to you, it's important that you react in the right way with, oh, that's really interesting. So how do you do that then? I'm curious to know. And people love that. They find it quite flattering that you've shown an interest in them. But it means that you don't have to say, you're not doing the heavy lifting in the conversation by having to say really impressive things because you haven't done very much yet in comparison with those other people.
That's quite comforting words, I would say. At least I think I wished I had heard that when I was a student, that you don't really need to impress people that much, perhaps.
And I think often people will say with storytelling, they'll say, well, I don't really have any stories to tell. Because they don't think that what they have to say will be impressive enough. They haven't won a gold medal at the Olympics. They haven't climbed Everest or walked on the moon or anything like that. Not many people have. But we've all had lots of small experiences. And people like observational comedians are very, very good at making something out of nothing. You know, so they see little nuances and little subtleties in interactions between two people in the supermarket. And it can become a really interesting story if you have the eyes and the ears to see it.
Definitely. And if you are at a student event or an exhibition or just in a networking setting, is there something else that's important to be aware of in those sort of situations?
I think one of the mistakes that you can make is if you go with some other people who you already know, the safety blanket is just to talk in a little cluster of those people and not really venture into speaking to strangers. The opposite end of that, which is very common with self-employed people who don't do this very well, is they'll come back when their boss has told them to go out and network and bring in some leads. They'll come back with 25 business cards. They'll think they've done a great job, and they've done a lousy job, because 25 business cards is too shallow. You haven't built any rapport or connection with anybody if you're spreading yourself that thin. So I always think in a two-hour event, if you have maybe four or five really good conversations with people, so you've made a connection with them, that's a good job.
So when you have built these connections and you leave the event, how do you then stay in touch with these people and maintain your network?
Again, that's a great question, because people switch off very often. Yeah. When they've been to an event. Yeah. They think, my work is done, I've been. No. And the best analogy there, I would say, is it's a little bit like planting seeds. So when you meet people, you're almost collecting seeds, and you've got to sow them in the right ground. Is that a metaphor? It might be a metaphor. You need to sow them in the right ground, which basically means going to the right sorts of events. So if you go into the wrong events for you, then you're not finding the right ground to put seeds into. But then, of course, once you've planted them, you need to tend them, you need to water them and fertilize them over many, many weeks and months, and then things start to grow. So I think you can't just meet people and think, my job is done. It starts, that's the starting point, but not the finishing point.
And as a law student then, for example, how do you stay in touch with these people? Like, do you give them a call afterwards or emails or?
I think LinkedIn is a great thing to use with this. LinkedIn is really the place to be to build those professional networks and relationships. And again, that way of watering or fertilizing seeds is something like, if you see that someone that you've met has won an award, or they've posted an interesting article, or they've appeared on a panel, then reference it in a comment. Don't just like it. Liking's lazy, because it doesn't really take any effort just to press like. But if you can say something nice in the comment, that, you know, I listened to your panel discussion and I really like the point you made about that, that's a quality comment. And they'll probably really value that. So your status goes up in their minds, and you're building almost a kind of social capital in a way by doing things like that.
So start connecting with people and interacting with them on LinkedIn.
Interacting with them in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
So liking, not doing anything is lazy. Liking is too easy to do. So good comments is, I think, the gold standard when it comes to using LinkedIn.
I think I have something to learn from here as well. Starting to get a bit lazy.
Well, people will often go to an event and they'll put a comment on, oh, great event, really enjoyed it. But that's not really say very much, does it? Point out something that you heard that you thought was interesting, that you connected with. That's a good comment. Mm.
To really show that you have
listened. Thought about it a little bit.
Mm. That's really good advice. You have collaborated with many big consultant firms and other law firms regarding communication skills. Why is this such an important topic that many big companies choose to invest training hours in, would you say?
Well, I suppose the ones that aren't that interested in it don't get in touch with me.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing to find companies that work in a professional domain that see a value in so-called soft skills. And if I could call it something else than soft, I would. It's a bad term, but you know what I mean. It's those communication skills, those self-management tools. So sometimes in professional services firms, you get senior partners who are techie people at heart, and they don't always see the benefit of developing non-technical skills or investing in them. So it's really important, I think, that they see it more in a general sense of rounded professional skills, not just technical knowledge.
So it's good, like, to start even as a student to learn these things, because you will also utilize them later on in your career.
I think if you don't develop them, you often hit a wall in your career whereby, you know, once you get to the point where you may be managing a team or people are considering putting you in a position like that or representing the company externally, if you don't have those interpersonal skills, then you won't progress. you know, your technical knowledge will get you so far, but you need to have the more rounded skills. And it's no coincidence that great leaders, very, very good leaders, are often very good communicators and very good storytellers. It's not a coincidence. They've got there largely because they develop those skills as well. And I sometimes find that people who push back at the idea of developing these softer skills will say things like, "Aye, but I don't really give presentations that will allow me to storytell and do things like that." And I'll say, well, you might not be doing them now, but if you're looking ahead, you'll need to be able to do that, and that will help you progress in your career.
Yeah, it's really good to take the opportunities while you're a student to practice these skills and attend these events. And even though it might be scary, that it could be very useful.
And it's quite funny talking to the students yesterday about presenting skills, because I was saying that, do you recognize, you know, death by PowerPoint, you know, reading from the slides, too much stuff on the screen, flat monotone voice? And they're all nodding because some of their professors are like that, without naming names. So even the problems we all come across sometimes in the business world exist in academia as well, whereby not all of the presenters in academia are engaging and good storytellers.
And do you have any like tips for, we discussed that you don't need to know that much and you could be just curious if you're new to networking, but do you have any tips for those who are shy or more introverted and feel like this sounds really scary with the networking part, like I don't dare to ask questions or approach people at events? Do you have any certain tips for those people?
I'm more on the extrovert side and I love meeting new people. So it's easy for me to say, oh, don't be afraid of it. You know, it's fine. It's fun. And often it isn't fun because people build up an anxiety if they're not on the extrovert side. But what I would say is that I've never regretted having an interaction with somebody. And I did mention an occasion to the students yesterday when I was in Helsinki in a cafe and I was waiting to go to the airport to travel home. And I overheard another customer in the cafe who sounded English. So I sort of said, oh, you sound like you're from the UK. Where are you from? And we got on really well. And I sat with him for 45 minutes and we got on really, really well. And then he left the cafe. And then I went to order another coffee. And the lady behind the counter, who I assume was Finnish, she said, you know what you did there, Finnish people would never do that. And I guess it was quite courageous of her to actually make that observation to me. Mm. But I was quite amused that, you know, she recognized that it was not a behavior that she's, you know, familiar with amongst her own people. But I think I don't think I've ever regretted doing it. But I think a lot of the time people overestimate how difficult it's going to be. They worry they won't be good enough or interesting enough. And they're exaggerating their own anxiety because the other person doesn't feel that way at all about them.
And we talked a bit before this recording as well about networking being a life skill. Why is that, would you say?
I think that although, you know, when I'm doing training that's been sponsored by a company, clearly the company is expecting some kind of return in the workplace. It'll make their professionals better, you know, when they're networking or presenting and so forth. But actually, these skills are not just work-related. They're just as valuable in personal relationships at home or with friends and family. And I think also you develop a better perception of how rich the world is around you. So, for example, when you start to develop this storytelling skill, you start to see more things that you then want to share with people because you see maybe an angle in something that's happened. Oh, I must tell so-and-so about that because, oh, that's an example of this. So you start to see material everywhere and then the world becomes a more interesting place. You start to watch a film and you start to see, you know, structures and the hero's journey and all sorts of things in a movie that you'd never seen before. So I think the world becomes richer when you start to think about these things.
It sounds very inspiring. Any last advice for our listeners before we round up this conversation? I think we already had many good ideas and views on the networking part. But are there anything else that you would like to add before we end up the conversation?
I think two pieces of advice, really. First of all, take baby steps with this, you know, rather than trying to become something that you're not. You know, maybe you're slightly on the introverted side. Don't suddenly try and become you know, a charismatic speaker or thrust yourself in front of everybody and start a conversation. Take baby steps initially and just feel your way in and see if any of these things work for you. And then secondly, find role models. If you want to become a better presenter, find someone who does it well. And if you're an introvert, look up somebody like Susan Cain, C-A-I-N, who's an American woman who is a self-confessed introvert, but she's become a really good speaker because she's found a way of doing it despite not naturally being, you know, extrovert on stage. She wrote a book called Quiet, which is all about the value of introversion, because we often associate introversion with a weakness and you need to do something about it and become more confident and so forth. So check her out. So find somebody who's good at presenting or who's good at networking, who's kind of in your mold as a character, and just maybe see how they go about what they do.
That's very good. I will definitely look into that as well. And what a nice way to end this episode. Thank you so much, Andrew, for a very nice conversation.
It's my pleasure. It's been really nice to join you. Thank you.
And as we just concluded, networking is for everyone and we can all learn from it, but we need to practice. A big thank you also to our listeners, both in Sweden and Finland. If you have any suggestions on topics we should cover in the podcast, please send them to acapov.podcast@rosher.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media. Thank you.